Well, when you're in late September, you got to find relatively unique, interesting things to talk about on Locked On Warriors. And when Draymond Green made a podcast appearance last week, oh boy, were things interesting. He revealed some fascinating stuff pertaining to his recent injury with his back. And I have literally an expert to join me next to break that down and whether or not Dub Nation should be concerned about Draymond Green and much more. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Dr. Nirav Pandya on Twitter at Dr. Nirav Pandya. I hope I got all that correct.
Perfect.
Yes. And I'm Cyrus Sautz. You can follow me on Twitter at DogSurfRocho. Kylan Mills normally joins us on Mondays and Fridays, but a last minute snafu. We'll bring her on tomorrow instead. She does apologize, Doctor. First of all, how are you doing? Welcome to the show. Tell people about your background because it's you're one of the pioneers for the medical community kind of converging with the media community, where you're now providing expertise on sports injuries. How did you get into becoming this media personality, which is rather unusual until recently? And do you have any connections with the Warriors? Just tell the world about you, please.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I am an orthopedic surgeon. You know, a lot of people see me on, you know, Twitter and media. I'm like, I actually have a day job, which is I'm a full-time orthopedic surgeon. And I'm a sports fan at heart. Grew up a sports fan ever since being from Chicago. So for me, I'm watching sports. I'm watching the NFL. I'm watching the NBA. I'm watching everything. And I have a medical background. And, you know, actually, interestingly enough, being part of the, you know, on the Warriors podcast, this all kind of started to come to a head when Clay tore his Achilles. And I realized there's all this information out there. People didn't know what was going on. I'm like, you know what? Let me throw a little minute video out there. And next thing you know, one thing leads to another. And it's a great way to, you know, use my background in orthopedics, explain what's going on for the fan and engage with fans in a way that they understand what's going on. So that's kind of where it all came together.
I think it's awesome. The only time I ever saw the other side of the coin was in the playoffs when the Warriors were playing the Memphis Grizzlies. You suddenly had actual MDs coming out saying that John Morant has a case regarding to his knee injury when Jordan Poole just randomly accidentally swiped at it for a split second. And you had MDs actually saying that he might have caused the injury. Were you? And then they backtracked, by the way. They all apologized. Yeah. Was that revolting to you when you first saw that? Like, that was weird to me that actual MDs were showing their fandom more so than their actual area of expertise.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, it's interesting. My kind of rule of thumb is like, I like to explain when we know what's going on, you know, and seeing the videos. And I think it was easy for everyone to jump to. They see this 5-second clip. They're not really, you know, understanding what's going on in the series. And then they're like, oh, absolutely. Jordan Poole's slap with his index finger caused John Morant to have a bone bruise. So it was a one time in all, you know, I've been doing this for a while now where there was actually like differing opinions. I was like, let's all take a step back. Like bone bruises are really hard to get. And, you know, Jordan Poole didn't do that intentionally, nor did that actually cause John Morant's bone bruise. So.
Yeah. And that was just so symbolic of how emotional that series was. I've been saying before then and since then, the Memphis Grizzlies were arguably the toughest out for the Warriors. And I'm really stoked that they got past that and won the championship. Yeah. But I primarily asked you here today because Friday I stumbled across this video of Draymond Green. He was on, I don't know if you call it a YouTube show, a podcast. Right. It's called Checking In. And I'm going to play to the audience this clip. It's about a minute and a half in length where Draymond, right off the bat, like the show starts with him talking about his back injury because he came in wearing this lumbar that the host mistook for, he called it a man purse. Here's the clip. Take a listen, and then we can break this down.
You good? What's up, nephew? Good to see you, baby. Yes, sir.
You looking good?
I've been waiting on my invite, man. I've been seeing everybody coming on. I've been waiting on my invite. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah,
so
what is that on your back? Man purse?
Hey, nah, man, it's my lumbar support. You know, it's my L5-S1 disc. It's herniated. So it's bulging out and it's hitting my sciatica nerve. I wasn't on the bench or I didn't travel with the team or anything for 2 months. So I couldn't sit down. Like I'm either standing or laying down. I wear this lumbar support to keep my posture right. Until this injury, I never noticed how bad posture is. For 8 weeks, I didn't do anything but like core strengthening in the weight room. You look slimmer though.
I appreciate it. I feel like I got my body in the best shape it's ever been in, like as far as strength and like core and like muscles that we end up using, like big muscle groups, because we never train the small muscle groups. And right. So the big muscle groups, they overwork. And so I feel like what I've done now is like I've trained all those smaller muscle groups in order to have my body operate the way it really supposed to operate. So hopefully it'll keep me healthy longer. I turned 32 2 weeks ago.
You try to say that like you was older.
3 weeks ago. I mean, I'm getting old in basketball years. Not real life.
What about your jumping right now? How does like is you? So that doesn't affect you be able to jump or land?
Day one, I couldn't lift up on my toes.
Damn.
Like literally, could not do a calf raise. So, all my rehab, as much as I was letting this heal, I was also rebuilding strength in my calf. I literally lost all strength in my calf. So I couldn't jump at all. 6 weeks ago, I couldn't run. Man. Like 6 weeks ago, like not even six full weeks, like probably 4.5, 5 weeks ago, I couldn't run.
Doctor, what was your first reaction to that? Because I had mixed emotions. What were your initial reactions to that video?
I mean, I think, you know, it kind of fits with what a lot of us thought he was going through. I mean, everyone thought, oh, it's his back. Like, why is he going to be out for 8-9 weeks? I mean, he perfectly described when an athlete has a herniated disc, what they go through. And I think the scary part, I think, for a lot of people is that they understand like the herniated disc part, the back pain part, but losing the strength in your calf really got me concerned, because initial reports are like, oh, you know, Draymond has calf pain. I'm like, it's a little weird. Like, he didn't have an injury, and suddenly talking about calf pain and calf weakness. And then you're thinking, okay, this sounds like a herniated disc right on that nerve. So it fits the picture. I'm glad he's letting everyone know that, because I think there's always that narrative of, is Draymond just making something up? Does he not want to be with the team? What's going on? I mean, this was a serious injury. And I'm glad that he's kind of hopefully at the other side of it, but definitely shows you how amazing it is that he came back in such a short time and performed in the playoffs like he did.
Absolutely. And I'm going to ask you a lot of questions here, and you obviously add whatever you want on top of what I'm asking, because you're the expert here. I'm not. I'm very cognizant of that. First things first, this injury first happened back, I believe, in January. Right. So when he's talking about all these recent experiences where he said he couldn't run 5 weeks ago, was that because like after the NBA finals, was he beginning a rehab process? Like, how do you interpret all that?
Yeah, it probably just, you know, a little bit of was like, okay, let's get through this period of time right now. You know, let's get through the playoffs and I'll really start training again. So I think there probably was a little bit of downtime where they said, look, you know, potentially like let's rebuild you, get things back as well too. So I think that's probably what a lot of that was referring to. Obviously not knowing the exact time, you know, when the podcast was, you know, that video was, but yeah. You know, I think a lot of this time is, look, you're trying to get through the playoffs, trying to get through to the point at which you're able to perform, and now let's really take that time and rebuild you, as opposed to stressing your body through running.
So I guess I'm curious, like what kind of rehab is he going through where 1 minute we're watching him in the NBA finals, you know, he's literally a modern day gladiator. You know, he's battling with the best athletes in the world, some of them. And then what is he going through after that where he can't run, he can't jump? Like, what kind of rehab is limiting him there if he's not going under any surgical procedures?
Yeah, I think what a lot of they're trying to do is, you know, prevent inflammation in that disc area. So you can imagine, you know, this disc is kind of pushing on the nerve and there's a lot of inflammation. So you're like, look, we want to prevent this aggravation from happening again. So you try to avoid things like running and jumping. You're like, look, we're really going to spend time now just working on building up your strength. We're not worrying about conditioning. We're not worrying about all those basketball skills. Let's just break you all down and get that strength back. And then we're going to build you back up. So I think it's more preventing yourself from getting irritation, aggravation in that area, and just really concentrating on strengthening, which you can't do in the middle of a basketball season. You can't tell Draymond, hey, let's sit down for 8 weeks. Now it's time for him to kind of rebuild himself back up and hopefully be ready, you know, to go for the training camp.
And I have so many more questions for you. I cannot begin to thank you for coming on the show today. You know, I've always said the recipe for quality media content is being informative and being entertaining. And at a minimum, we're covering the informative part today. But the beautiful thing is, like, you're a natural when it comes to media, man. I just got to tell you that. I don't consume a lot of other media. So I know you've been doing media appearances for a long time, but this is my first experience with you. Like, you're a pro. You're a natural at this. Kudos to that. And again, when we come back, there's a lot more questions. I'm curious about his long-term health. I'm curious, you know, like how limited he was when he came back originally in March, April. But first, I got to give some love to a relatively longtime sponsor of the program, and that's Rocket Money. Are you wasting money on subscriptions? I found out recently I was. A lot of people do, because you get suckered into these things. They keep going. You forget about them. Well, 80% of people have subscriptions they do forget about. Maybe for you, it's an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that never gets streamed. There's this great app I use that helps me track all of my expenses. And because of it, I no longer waste money on subscriptions I don't even use. You might have heard of it. I've talked about a Truebill. It's now known as Rocket Money. The app shows all your subscriptions in one place. It cancels what you don't want for you. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel the subscription, all you got to do is press cancel, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Cancel unnecessary subscriptions with Rocket Money today. Go to rocketmoney.com/lockedon. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. I saved over 1,000 using it. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedon.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen. Now go and make the NBA Top 50 on Locked On NBA your second listen. Which NBA player moves the betting line the most this year? Locked On and the Bet Online odds makers present the NBA Top 50 Most Valuable Players. Find it on Locked On NBA, wherever you get your podcast, and on YouTube. You can also find a medical expert on Twitter, Dr. Nirav Pandya. You can follow him again on Twitter. It's DRNIRAV. PANDYA. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see it right there in front of us. And doctor, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on with me. Just you must be an incredibly busy human being. You certainly have much more pressing matters than talking about Warriors basketball, but here you are. And I always make the argument, even from like a seriousness from a mental health perspective, sports gives so much to culture and to individuals that studies have shown it's morale boosting. It could also make you incredibly depressed. But anyway, its impact is profound. Draymond Green, when he was playing, when he came back, and he was especially in the playoffs and in the NBA finals for the first time in my life watching him play, I saw him actually struggling a little bit. He wasn't the same Draymond. A lot of people thought maybe it was the Celtics, them being just that good. Do you think this injury played a part in Draymond's performance on the court during the postseason, and at least since he came back?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think number one, I mean, there's no substitute for live game conditioning. So I think there was definitely that impact of, look, he just hasn't been out there on the court for a while. But I think the interesting thing with kind of back injuries is that, you know, when you hurt your quad, you hurt your ankle, you can feel that pain all the time. It's just unknown with this back injury. It's like one blow is, am I going to twist one way and suddenly I can't feel my calf? It's like a very weird feeling for someone. So I think there's that hesitancy, even though he says he wasn't trying to, you know, compensate at all. I think that definitely impacted him. Now, a couple of times you see him fall on the ground and get back up, you're like, everything's okay. Like, everyone can take a deep breath. But absolutely, it's such a weird injury to play and play aggressively with when you don't have any warning signs that, you know, that next blow is going to be the thing that kind of sets us all back.
That's crazy. And by the way, you mentioned earlier, you were wondering when that clip, when that interview took place. It was last week, to the best of my understanding. Okay. So it was fairly recent. Look, he's still performed. I mean, I thought Draymond after those first 2 weeks when he came back, he was rusty, but then he looked like his old self for the most part. He mentioned in the interview where the host did that he noticed that Draymond lost some weight. I've noticed that as well. He looks thin, especially given normally in the summer, Draymond kind of lets loose a little bit. He always shows up training camp overweight a little bit. That's not the case this year. And does that have something to do with this rehab, you think? And what does your body mass have to do with this specific injury? Like, does it matter that he's skinnier? Does that help? Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of the work that you have to do to kind of support your back works the core, the abdominal area. So it makes people look thinner, makes them look more in shape. You know, you're definitely like not having that belly mass makes you look more sleek. So absolutely, I think the work he did is going to make him look differently. But the one thing we know with these NBA players who have herniated discs, it's larger players who play the 4 and the 5 who are more at risk for having bad outcomes. So Draymond's doing the right stuff, decreasing his weight down, being more in shape to make sure this isn't an aggravation again. So absolutely, I think he's in a good position to get ready for next season for this back. And I think a silver lining is that all this rehab you do for your back, working your core, working your glutes, helps everything else. It makes you less injury prone in your legs. So we may see a more explosive and healthier Draymond because of this moving forward.
Yeah, I've read that and heard that repeatedly, that it all starts with your core. And my core is the size of a tire right now. I got to work on that, man. That's my own personal issue. But yeah, dude, I got the chubs going. One of my gripes last year was that I really felt like the Warriors, when it comes to roster construction, they didn't really plan for their front court being decimated by injuries. Yet all of a sudden, Draymond's out for 2 months. Bielitsa had some back injuries. It was also the lower back that was bothering him from January through March. And I guess my question to you is, do you think Draymond playing a bigger position than what his body would typically be for a 4 or 5? I mean, he's 6'6". He weighs probably 240, 250. But that's not usually the size of a center. And I guess my question to you is, the fact that he's battling much bigger players, do you think that plays a part in his back injury? Or is it like what he said in the interview where he said it had more to do with posture? What do you think the cause of this is?
I think a lot of it has to do with wear and tear. I mean, you know, when you look at these discs injuries, it's usually most of the time something that builds up over a long period of time. And if you're down low, you're getting hit, you're kind of using that back a lot, you're taking a beating, it's eventually going to add up to you. And, you know, the other example I think of a player historically is Charles Barkley, you know, a player who played bigger than his size and had a lot of degenerative issues as well, too. So absolutely, I think, you know, obviously the concern with Draymond is, at what point is his body going to, you know, basically take the toll of all this beating and pounding? I think we saw it for the first time this year in a big way. So hopefully, you know, we get a couple more years of Draymond based on kind of what he's done. But absolutely, the way he plays, what makes him great, unfortunately, this is the downside of it. You know, you're going to have these back issues. You're going to have shoulder issues and foot issues.
Yeah, and that's been a concern of mine as well. I mean, I don't think you need to be a medical expert to see in front of you that someone who's routinely banging against much bigger human beings, that wear and tear is going to catch up. You know, Draymond came out, reports indicated he wants a max deal. And I guess they're going to play it out this year and we'll see what happens. But, I know you're not a GM, obviously. You're a medical professional. But, like, given what he's going through right now, what is your long-term prognosis? Like, can Draymond be perfectly fine? Or is this like the beginning of the end? I mean, like, what are your thoughts in terms of the long-term prognosis for Draymond?
Yeah, I know. Taking my Warriors fandom out of this, you know, it kind of seemed like you got a player, you know, he's 32 years old. He's playing bigger than his size at his position. You know, he's battled injuries every now and then. I mean, the long-term, looking at his ability to be productive 2 to 3 years from now, doesn't necessarily lean toward that being the case. Now, if the Warriors are looking at having someone who can be effective in 15, 20 minute bursts and, you know, not necessarily play the minutes he can't, you know, he has in the past. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great. But to expect him to be playing 30, 35 minutes a game and being effective for a long stretch of the season, I just don't think you can do that, you know, given the wear and tear on his body. So I think most people realize that, but it's hard to, you know, differentiate he's meant to the organization to what he will potentially contribute over the next couple of years.
Right. And all that does is just put more pressure on Looney and especially Wiseman to step in there next year. I have a segment that I'm not going to actually introduce with you. I thought Kylan was going to be with us, but it's just us. If you don't have an answer to this, you don't have to answer.
Okay.
But this is a brand new segment. Just watch this quick clip and you'll understand what it's about.
Okay.
Makes no damn sense.
That's a whole segment. It makes no damn sense. What in sports makes no damn sense? And I'll put it in perspective for you. The Memphis Grizzlies makes no damn sense. They don't have grizzly bears in Memphis. They were the Vancouver Grizzlies. That was appropriate. In Memphis, call them the Blues or something. Makes no damn sense. What in sports to you that you could think of off the top of your head makes no damn sense?
Oh man, I'm gonna get myself in trouble talking about 49ers stuff right now. But
yes, stop, please. Yes,
the Jimmy Garoppolo situation makes no sense at all to me. You know, we don't want Jimmy here. We're gonna get Jimmy's replacement. Now we need Jimmy. Yes. Jimmy, come on back. Jimmy, take us to the Super Bowl. It's crazy. It makes no sense at all.
I love it. No, I'm with you, man. I was infuriated last year. I was incensed. I mean, I know this is a Warriors show, but Kyle Shanahan treated Trey Lance like a fullback yesterday. That was absurd. It made no damn sense at all. You said you're Warriors fandom. I'm sure you follow the sport. You don't have to be in my position to have observational skills. You know, if you have a basketball background, especially, we're all talking heads here. In your opinion, how are the Warriors looking? I'm feeling great. Now, the Draymond thing is a cause for concern a little bit. Obviously, they got to limit his regular season minutes. You got to save him and keep him fresh for the postseason. That's my opinion on it. What are you thinking about the Warriors? I mean, what are your thoughts given the roster changes and what's your outlook for him?
I think very positive on them. I mean, I think, you know, even looking at Curry, I mean, Steph's going to be Steph. Klay, jumping to the medical stuff for a second, I mean, every data suggests that he's going to be even better his second season. So you got Steph, you've got Klay. I think the key thing is that balance. How much are you going to have Kuminga and Moody and, you know, a pool to a certain extent already established? How much can you count on them to develop? Are you going to try to thread the needle again and have them play a lot of minutes, or are you just going to ride, you know, with the veterans? So I think Kuminga is really going to be, and Wiseman will be the two big question marks. Is Kuminga going to mature and play really well? And then, you know, I don't think anyone can stop us. You know, if Wiseman can give us 10 to 15 minutes a night, you know, I think there are going to be big expectations on him. The kid hasn't played basketball in so long, so let him fill his role. But I think if those two players can you know, do their job, and Looney is an Iron Man, I don't think anyone's reconstructed their roster enough to be a you know, threat. Everyone talks about the Clippers. I mean, Kawhi is old and has ACL tear. John Wall has had multiple Achilles issues, and Paul George. So besides Boston, potentially, I just don't see anyone really threatening the Warriors this year. I think it's going to be hopefully a clean run.
I'm so with you. The only other team that people mention that I give some credence to are the Milwaukee Bucks. But even then, I don't see them as a real threat. Last question for you, just because I really feel strongly about Klay Thompson this upcoming season. I think he's going to have a breakout year. He was trending upward his entire career before that injury. I mean, you can't even rule out the Warriors in that NBA final series. They still had a plausible, although unlikely, still a plausible chance of winning the NBA finals before Klay's injury eliminated all that talk. But I see big things for Klay, and given the two big injuries, you know, we saw him play last year. I thought his defense came back in the NBA finals. What are your thoughts on Klay based on what you've seen this last season, and how do you think he's going to do this upcoming year?
I think he's going to do great. I mean, if you look at historically players who have Achilles tears, and this is just Achilles tears, not the combined, I mean, Klay outdid every metric. He played as many minutes a game. His player efficiency rating was high, and he didn't get injured. I mean, everyone talked about Kevin Durant as the new model of how you recover from Achilles. He missed tons of time. I think like 40% of his games with hamstring issues, knee issues. So the fact that Klay was healthy and did amazingly performance-wise, I can only imagine what he's going to do next year. And his game is set up really well for that, being a jump shooter. And his defense, I agree, the defense came back. So I think the Klay Thompson we're going to see next year may potentially be one of Klay's best seasons, I think, just given the fact that he's had time off. He doesn't have that natural wear and tear, and he's got a great supporting cast around him again. So I think it's going to be great.
Oh, that's music to my ears, sir. It is such a pleasure meeting you. You're a pro at this. I see why you are a verified Twitter user despite being an MD. That's not a normal thing. So bravo. I hope to get you back on. Actually, I don't know. I have mixed feelings because I feel like if I'm going to bring you back on again soon, that means somebody got injured. But on the other hand, this was a pleasant exchange, man. So I hope you come back on again soon under the best of circumstances. I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Anything you'd like to promote? I mean, I'm sure you have things going on in your life that you may or may not want to raise awareness for. I don't know. You tell me. Is there anything you'd like to promote before we drop?
No, nothing major. I mean, I said, like, look, I'm out there for the fans. People have questions about injuries. Just follow me on Twitter. Try to, you know, hopefully enjoy the sports experience. Like you said, sports have meant so much for me in my life, and injuries can be confusing to the average fan. So hopefully I can, you know, give a little insight into that, and you can enjoy your sport a little bit more.
I love it. Am I screwed, by the way? I have a heel splint / plantar fasciitis. I've been dealing with this for like 5 months now. Is this just one of those things that I just have to deal with and eventually hope it goes away? Like, what do people with this thing have to do?
You got to stretch the calf out. You got to stretch. Yep.
Done. All right, doctor. It was such a pleasure. And again, folks, you can follow Dr. Nirav Pandya on Twitter at Dr. NIRAVPANDYA. And I strongly recommend following him. Thank you again so much for coming on. You can follow me, folks, on Twitter at DogSurfRoadshow, and this program on Twitter at LockedOnDubs. Kyla Mills joins me tomorrow. And thanks again, doctor. And thanks to everyone. Take care.